This is Charles Oaken. You listen to the Mike Saffa podcast.
Oak, the legend. Oak, the legend. What's up, my friend?
Nah, man, just chilling. Trying to get through life without drama.
Mid-50s, you're still looking really good.
Hey, trying to hold on. Just got gray.
Only gray, that's it, though. You're still in good shape. You still working out?
Yeah, I try to get 3 or 4 days in.
What's your workouts like?
Nothing special. I just do whatever I feel that morning.
How about your diet?
I don't diet. Never diet in my life.
Eat whatever you want.
Chicken, bacon, pork, whatever.
Is it more of a low-carb keto thing or not?
Never been into that.
Really? Oh, never?
Never. Just go get my hour. Get close to that. Just get my hour, 5 minutes in and just go.
Oh, here's my thing. I see we're in Times Square now taping. I see you at the Brooklyn Nets game. I see you in Vegas. Where does the Oak Man call home? Is it Chicago, Vegas, Virginia?
Cleveland.
Okay, so is that home for you?
Cleveland, New York. I'm back in New York. I'm in New York, so I do a lot. So I do a lot of charity stuff.
What charity stuff you went to?
I do a lot. I do about 20 charity events a year.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Still giving back?
Always have. Never stopped.
Is it crazy you haven't played for the Knicks for 25, 30 years and your name still resonates, still so heavy, you're still revered? Does that, like, surprise you or anything? Like, how much you're loved still?
Well, they get to see more and see me do more now. And they saw me on the court. People see me off the court. I do a lot of charity work, engage with a lot of different type of people. And I give people a chance, if I have time, to deal with some situations, issues. I'm always giving. So I never try to just tell a person no. I try to either try to give them a number to contact someone, or either I try to take it on myself.
You know what? Being off the court, people can really see the personal, like you humanize more. You're not just a basketball player, Charles Oakley. You're the human Charles Oakley who do things.
I think in our era, it was both. I mean, we did go out, some guys, and I think they put too much into it. And, like, in this day and era, everything is, like, back-to-back game. You got private plane. They give you 3 meals. Back in our day, we did go to the airport. We get our own bags, put them on the plane, take them off. So it's a lot different. But it's part of the job. You can't complain. And you got a job and charity while you can't go sometime. Guys get cut second, third, fourth year. I was lucky to play 18 years and, stay on top of things.
18 years.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to go back to the draft. You played for Virginia Union. Yeah. You go ninth overall. Where were you? Because I don't know if you went to the draft.
No, I didn't.
Give me that phone call when you get drafted.
Well, it was a lot of phone calls because they didn't know where I was going. Uh-huh. But then we found out I was going to go first round. They didn't know where first. So then we found out Chicago and Cleveland had worked a deal out.
Mm-hmm.
I was at my college coach house in Virginia.
Okay.
So laying back, eating some little, picking on a little finger food and just wasn't nervous or nothing because, like I said, anything to get drafted was a blessing.
Uh-huh.
Wherever I went.
Okay.
Go top 10, it was a better blessing.
And it wasn't like now where you can go on and just Google Charles Oakley mock draft. You didn't know really where you were going, right?
I didn't, but some guys did because they went to D1. I went to D2 school.
Of course.
History of Black College. And most times, them type of guys don't go top 3 rounds. So back then, we had, 6, 7 rounds. But I guess they liked my body at work. I went to All-Star games. I performed against the best guys at a high level. Then back down stronger, just as strong as they was. But they had a bigger brand than I did. Virginia Union versus North Carolina versus Alabama versus Duke. So I was, until I get on that floor, like I told them, we all the same size. The floor ain't no wider, so the rim's the same size, Let's go.
I'll tell you what they liked. They liked your 18 rebounds a year. That's what they liked. Hey, let's play Charles Oakley trivia. Who got drafted before you? One pick before you.
Probably, I know the 7th pick. I don't know the 8th pick.
Seven was Mullen, right?
Devlin Shrimp.
Yes, Shrimp was 8. Okay. And who went right after you?
After me, number 10. I know it was someone. I know Keith Leaf probably went 10 or 11.
No, Ed Pinckney.
Ed Pinckney. Okay.
Went right after you.
Boston.
When you were playing in New York, where'd you live?
I live in Westchester, White Plains, most of my whole career until 3-4 years ago. I moved out and I'm right down by Lincoln Tunnel in the city, so I'm still hanging on in New York.
You still gripping on? I'm surprised when you played for the Knicks, you didn't live in the city?
No, there no player lived in the city when we played.
Why is that?
We had, we practiced upstate.
Okay, that makes sense.
We only came in the city for games, so shoot around was upstate. Then they kind of start mixing up a little bit, shoot arounds at the Garden and that didn't work out too good. I mean, when you bring the guys to the city for shoot around and go to hotels, it's just too much going on. Most of the guys live, 90% of the guys live like 20 minutes to practice. And my thing was always live close to practice. I was like 7 minutes from practice.
Really, see, my next question was going to be 2 a.m. Where's Charles Oakley hanging out? You weren't a hangout in the city guy, or you still hung out in the city a little bit?
We did stuff more in the summertime than during the season time. Because it was strictly business when we played. I mean, we held one another accountable. We ain't no like hanging out, partying, somebody getting in trouble, and we weren't here in the press and all that stuff. So in the summertime, enjoy yourself. When season time, it's all business.
First dumb purchase you made after you get drafted. You get your first big paycheck, first dumb purchase.
I ain't make no dumb purchases.
Really?
No.
Nothing stupid?
No, just bought my mom a house and life went on. Bought myself a car the next year. I mean, I had a car, but, just try to live life to the fullest. And coming from the inner city, friends, family, cousins, a lot of family members, you try to help out as much as you could.
Why didn't you fall down, and I don't want to say the trap, but why didn't you fall into the trap of, a lot of people from the inner city who make all the money, a lot of the time they lose it. Were you smart with your money? Did you make good investments?
Well, I made investments. I tried things. Everything didn't work, but knock on wood, I'm still, surviving. Still got some good things going on, and I'm still working forward. I think sometimes when you, once you get out of the league, then you try to find that next level of what you're going to do. It takes tosses and turns until you get something together. Unless you have a good, strong team when while you're playing. Most of the time, a lot of people don't. And a lot of people just try to, play as long as they can. Then at the end, just say, let me see what I'm going to do. But I had got some investment before the end, but, some work, some don't.
Of course, that's the game. I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to have you here. When I mean an honor, I've had on a ton of athletes. I know your boy Kenny Anderson. He's on the show all the time with me. We're all on. To sit here with you as being one of the biggest Knicks fans, it's such an honor because I remember those 90 teams.
Yeah.
And to just sit here with you, blowing my mind. So I can't thank you enough.
No problem. Thank you.
So for the next 7 hours, you and I are going to go through the Charles Oakley life. Sound good?
It's no problem. It's no problem.
Hey, I want to talk about this. You get drafted. when you're with the Bulls for a little bit, Jordan comes there. And I know you guys are close friends now.
He was there before me.
Yeah, when you got there, did you know he was not a special player, a game-changing generational player, or you were like, this kid's awesome?
Well, once I got to play with him more and more, you see him in college, you didn't see a lot. And there been a few guys like that in college. He went to Carolina, and when Dean Smith had a system, it ain't like no one going to average 20 or 30 points. So basically you're going to have two or three guys average from 14 to 17. But you can just see it's unique, Jordan, once you practice his swagger, he walk, this and that, and, his mindset of working hard at all time. And, once I saw that, my rookie year, he took me to the All-Star game, being around him, just embracing me and, giving me a chance to take me to places and show me some of the things and what it takes to be a professional at all time. I learned a lot from him, but I already had that attitude, I'm tough-minded, this and that, and, so him giving me the pieces to learn and my own pieces and, a few other guys, that's how I get to be a leader.
I'm a gossip guy. What made you guys bond to be friends from then all the way to now?
I guess his toughness and my toughness, and I think I rubbed off a lot of my toughness to him. He just rubbed off a lot of his smarts to me and how he worked, and I know that, how he trained, and I know in practice every possession was like a game possession. So when you can practice the same way you play and knowing that when the game comes, it's like a repeat what I already done. So a lot of things he did in game, we already had seen in practice. So people like, oh, wow, this and that. I saw that. So people like, oh, we might go play. I don't get excited because I see a dunk here and there. I mean, I already saw it. So a lot of people like, I got to play. I can't get caught up in that, It might 3 or 4 minutes before I come back to my senses, and 3 or 4 minutes, we might be down 10, 12 points. So I need all of my attitude at all time on the court.
Oak, I always say you lie to women and children, never your friends. So you and I'm going to say we're considered boys now. You get traded. Ever once in the past 30 years, if you're like, crap, if I would have stayed with Chicago, I get a bunch of rings. Did it ever cross your mind?
No.
Really?
No. I mean,
is that maybe for me from a fan's standpoint?
A lot of guys probably would think that way because I know what I can bring to a team. I knew that when I came to New York, we would have a chance to get one because I bring that attitude and tenacity, IQ for the game, hold guys accountable. And but we got there, but we didn't win. But I knew that we could get, you know, to the finals and something, have a chance to win one, but we didn't. We could have probably had a chance to win two, but Michael was in our way a couple of times. it happened like that.
And you know what? That's what made it. How much fun was it back then? Do you get bothered talking about the 94 Knicks a lot? Do you get like, okay, enough of it? Do you hate like talking about it?
Oh, no. I don't like, you know, as a fan, if somebody asks me the question, I don't let it get to me. I mean, we was there. We was right there. We was up 3-2. We just couldn't finish. So a lot of things happened, you know, in that series that, you know, I think we should have beat them in five. But, you know, we just didn't shoot the ball well, and they hit some shots and a couple of blown covers. But I think, you know, we had enough talent to beat them. Everybody said we didn't never have enough talent. But coaching strategies and, you know, Pat Riley, the way he coaches, and sometimes the adjustment didn't happen quick enough, you know. So that hurts a lot, too, to me, because being a player out on the floor, this and that, and that's why you get your halftime. You know, you got to adjust, especially in football, Belichick or something. And Pat Riley, how you coach, that was one of his weaknesses.
His weakness was the adjustments?
Game adjustment, yes.
I'm the biggest Kentucky basketball fan, and my only criticism against Coach Calipari, the man can walk on water, I think, he's the greatest, is that halftime adjustment. Sometimes they'll be up 9 at the half. They come out. I always feel the other team makes the adjustments, and we kind of rely on talent a little much, too.
Right.
And let me ask you this. Because you guys, Riley was such like the upper echelon, it's Pat Riley. You guys can never like talk amongst yourselves. Be like, listen, we got to fucking change this. Like, we got to make some changes here.
Well, we talk amongst ourselves. But at the end of the day, the ball went to Patrick, and Patrick made the decision. You know, Patrick, you know, he didn't have a great series to me, and I think that you know, it was just one of them things. He had a good series against Houston, and so that's why I said if he had a decent series, we could have won it with ease. So it was just one of them things that happened in life, you know. Hey, what can you do? Try to get back the next year and try to do the same thing, but win it.
I made my little notes here. Charles Oakley, 94, all defensive first team. You only made the All-Star team one time. That's a bunch of bullshit. You get to the finals. 94 is your glory year, like the year like you talked about the most, probably.
Never really talk about the year. I ask the question when people ask me. I know 94 was a year. You know, a lot of good things happened for the team. So I'm glad it was one of my better years. On paper, but it helped us get to the championship. So I didn't look at it like that, but I appreciate the notes and all the stats. But you know, I made an All-Star team, so it was a good 94 was a good year. They said 2000 was the best decade, so 94 was my best year there.
You know, I'll tell you this: I'm a little younger than you. You know, that's the first time I ever cried over sports. 94, I was 12 years old. Yeah. I cried. We're up 3-2. You didn't make me cry. The team made me cry. So you can apologize to me later on. When you get traded to Toronto, you go there with Vince Carter and T-Mac. Were you going there more as a mentor to them? Or
No. Really? Leader, enforced issues, hold guys accountable. It didn't stop. Even though I was late in my career, I think them guys, they saw me coming, working. You know, a lot of guys. It was a veteran team, though. You know, Kevin Willis, Dale Curry, Mark Jackson, D. Brown, Muggsy Bugs, and Kevin Willis. So we had a veteran core. So everybody had been somewhere before. No one had won a ring. Mm-hmm. So when we got there together in Toronto, we all like, let's try to do this. You know, we've been in the league 14, 15 years. Let's try to get a ring because we had enough talent, especially with Vincent Tracy, our young guts. They was like, but they broke them up the next year. But we tried. Came in here and beat the Knicks and went to play Philly up again. We had Lenny Wilkins, bad in games, you know, Justin. I mean, he's just, for a coach who, they say he had 1,000 wins and 1,000 losses, he didn't move me at all. I guess it was just, you know, that was in his career. He was just in the rocking chair, just rocking until his time was up. But it hurt us in a way because some of his in-game decisions hurt the team.
And you don't realize as a fan that in-game decisions, you know.
Oh, yeah. I said something to him. And he had a grudge for us. That's why they traded me the next year because I'm still in it. I've been in playoff many a time. I've been to the finals. And I understand. I've been through this with Pat Riley. I'm not going to let my team go down like this. You making a bad sub, and we don't need the sub. And they traded me the next year just because I said that.
Unbelievable.
And until today, I see Glenn Gunwall with the GM and this and that. And, you know, they grouped, got together, and said they can do better without me, and they got worse. But my thing is, when you never done something, and how can you tell me if I'm wrong? And I've been in, and I've done it. And so a lot of people think they know a lot of stuff because they coach. If you ain't been to the final, you don't know how the X and O, the pressure, the situation. So that's why when Pat Riley came in, we had to give him, his, you know, the props because he had won a championship. We haven't. So a lot of things I dialed down. He dialed down my minutes and other stuff to other guys. But as, you know, two or three years go past, that didn't work. He dialed my minutes back up. We went to the finals that next year.
T-Mac and Vince Carter, is that the best 1-2 punch that never really...
Young punch?
Yeah, that didn't really do anything, right?
Well, they only played 1 year together.
I know. Like, for me...
Vince had a good run, but individually they had a good run. It's like I don't know, you know a lot about music, like the Temptations.
Of course.
But the Temps had probably, and you look at music, probably the three or four best singers on the Temps. And, you know, two of Dennis Elwood, Eddie Kendrick, they went solo, but the Temps were still the Temps because they had, like, always somebody can replace them at a high level. There's like, wow, who going to be the next? And every time somebody leaves, they get better and better. So, you know, when you got guys like that can sing, you know, that's what you need in the playoffs, somebody who can produce and be at a high level every night. Now, you watch the playoffs now and these days, you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's skip up ahead to the current state of the NBA. Do you like the current state of the NBA? Is it in a good place?
Well, financially, yes.
Well, financially, globally, it's killing.
It's at all time. Mm-hmm. For us, like, if you watch the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you might be spoiled because you want to see more of a team concept, more of a dial in and guy understand roles and playing together. So it's hard to teach kids unless you just can shoot like Steph Curry and whatever. So it's hard to teach kids by watching this day and age because everybody just want to shoot and dribble. If you want, that's why fundamentals need to come back. You always gonna need fundamentals because you gotta know how to pass, cut, and so many guys be out of position in the game. I went to Jersey and Philly game Saturday. You know, Jersey had the game. You know, last five or six possessions was turnover because they never been there. They ain't had no kind of experience, and it showed. Philly had better athletes, better player. Philly ain't great in situation, but they better than Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on paper, if you put one against one, Philly destroys them as a team. The Nets had that game.
They had the game.
That's insane. The Nets had them. And you know what's a good first round series? Lillard versus Westbrook. That's a nice series. Are you not liking it?
I mean, Westbrook do Westbrook, but that ain't basketball.
What Westbrook does?
You know, yeah, because all that hot dogging and this and that, somebody have been hitting him inside the head. Either his teammate needs to say, yo, bro.
Enough.
This is not helping us. This is hurting us. You know, all your different taxes and this and that. I mean, we not winning. We losing. We need to be chill and aggressive in a way that we all on the same page. So Portland playing cool and smart, you know, they playing smart. They got one of the best players out. That's what I'm saying. When you can get some bunch of guys to buy in what you're trying to do, like the Clippers with Golden State, they got really best player, Harris, and they came back from 31. They had a fight with the Golden State the other night. Could have won, but they best two players. One went 5 for 20, the other went 2 for 12. So my thing is, you at least that team, they fighting, like Brooklyn, they fighting, but they don't have enough firepower.
Is it the LeBron effect that LeBron's not in the playoffs? I'm a basketball guy. I'll watch the games. I'm like, oh. Like, I'm not, like, soaked into the playoffs. Is it because LeBron's not in it? Is it because it's not that exciting? Why?
LeBron's a different. He brings – it's just like you go to a festival, this and that. You got a Beyonce, a Michael Jackson, Prince. Everybody going to stay just to see. Like, LeBron bring that show to the NBA playoff because – he can get triple-double. He make guys good every night, and he hold guys accountable, and you know he want to win at a high level that you want to watch it. A lot of people hate on how he play, why he don't take shots, and da-da-da, this and that. But at the end of the day, he just, unfortunately, this year in L.A., he didn't have enough talent. He missed a lot of games. But I just think the guys around him ain't talented what people think they are. Even though they're a top two or three pick, they don't make you talented.
Speaking of L.A., what's going on with your boy Magic? Just randomly steps down. Is there more going on over there?
Well, same thing with Phil Jackson in New York. I mean, when you get the job, you think one way, and then once you're trying to do something like Phil was trying to put a triangle in, and these guys was rebelling against him.
Yeah, they were fighting it.
It was like,
why not give this guy a chance? He won 9, 10, 11, 12 championships. You haven't won nothing. But it's these guys, the main guys at Prima Donna, they don't want to change. And when these guys don't want to change, that's why you see starting seeing guys getting older like AI or Carmelo and this and that. They can't go nowhere else and be successful because they're not getting the touches. So on the way, I blame, I don't know, I told somebody the other day, I wish Melo, if Melo would stay in New York, he'll still be playing. He'd probably have a new contract because once you go play with Westbrook, and Westbrook can hold you for animal, and now you got to be third filler on the team, and you're like not, you now you're in towards the end of your career, now you're getting to be a volume shooter. 5, 6, 7 shots don't make you look good. You need your 15 to 20 shots. That's why I should have stayed in New York. And they wouldn't win it, but at least your brand, Melo will still be like trying to, next year, we don't know what's going to happen with him. He's going to try with a team, go overseas. Now he got to do the AI, or, you know, just, you don't want that back. You play at too high a level too long to not be just trying to be a man on a team.
It sucks seeing Melo fade out. Melo wasn't, he didn't get the respect he deserved here.
Ain't got the respect.
Towards the end, people had.
Well, he didn't win. You can't give us something. It's New York. They don't care because you got a Bentley living in Hollywood. You wearing a mint coat. They want to see you produce night in and night out, and it didn't happen. I mean, he won the playoff one time in 7 years. I mean, what you want? I mean, you want coffee every morning? You want water every morning? I mean,
speaking of the Knicks turnaround, is it going to turn around next year? Wait, let me ask you.
I don't know.
I'm not going to ask you who's coming. Will there be a frozen ping pong ball this year, maybe, to get Zion here?
I don't believe in that because, you know, I got picked in the top 10 with no frozen ping pong. What happened. I mean, I know if you're going to say they did that, you can say basketball is rigged.
Yeah.
So I try not to think so, but I've been in a situation I know. Superstar call, they need to stop saying superstar call because now you won't have the superstars. But my thing, if you that good, just let the game play out. Don't everything now, every whistle is like 2 seconds off now. Yeah, a guy goes to the hole and look like the ball going in, then it come out. You be heading down court, they blow a whistle like 2 shots. It's like it's a time delay. It's really not good for basketball.
Does it bother you as a former player and now a fan watching it? Do you just get frustrated watching it?
Yes, because you seeing team missing 6 or 7 free throws in a quarter, and lose by 2 or 3 points, like one. You know, you're inside 18 for 30 on the free throw line. That's why you lost.
Yeah,
I mean Brooklyn, they missed like 12 free throws. I mean it's a lot of air. Like last night watching Portland, what's name? It was like you see 3 or 4 air balls, like 2 air balls in the end, 2 air balls in the end. But that's what they do now. They shoot threes and they force up shots.
One player Charles Oakley would pay to watch in this NBA?
KD, LeBron, Steph.
Not Giannis?
Nah, he's okay.
Oh, so you're not as impressed or in just like, for me, he's a point
you said who I want to watch. I'm telling you. Okay. I mean, that's your opinion.
Well, Oak, you have to ask me. Who
I love to see KD because the way he shoot the ball and the way Curry can shoot from anywhere and what LeBron can do on a night in, night out, no matter where he at. So, they're my top 3 players in the league.
KD gonna be wearing the blue and orange next year?
Looking outside in, all this stuff going on in New York. If I was a ball player, it'd be tough to come here. It's just too much toxic going on. It's too much drama. It's upstairs, mm-hmm. and downstairs. It's in your front yard. It's the neighbors. I mean, and you in a place now. You ain't won. If they win this year, 3 out of 3, and you win the championship, you come here. You don't know who coming with you. Is it Kimbo? Is it Kyrie? Is it could be someone else? But I don't know. It's a tough decision. I mean, they want him to come here, but I mean, you come into a situation that ain't nothing going good. Ain't nothing going good but New York.
Nothing. That's it.
That's the only thing. You're in New York. I mean, like LeBron didn't come here when he was a free agent. They said he was gonna try to come here. He didn't come. I don't know. You know, they're a little sensitive, and I don't know if they can handle the press. The press ain't going to just, you know, because I'm KD, I'm having 30, they're going to let you know. When you lose 3 or 4 games in a row, and they ask you a question that you don't want to answer, are you going to answer the question as a professional and say it's part of the business? Or are you going to like, wow, you know, I lose 3 or 4 games, now y'all want to ask me, you know. That's their job, KD, Kyrie. I mean, you come to New York, you better bring a vest with you.
It's a different animal.
I mean, they do their job. I mean, it's fun to be a little toxic here. But when everything already is toxic over the top, can you handle that too? It's a lot more than just basketball here. You know, when they boo you, can you handle that? Because every night ain't gonna be a good night in New York. Fans gonna they don't care because you won three championships in Golden State. What have you done for me? This is New York. You got to win here.
And you know, it'd be great, not great, it'd be horrible if he has a bad game and all of a sudden he was like, well, he was at a Tao at 11 o'clock p.m. I guess he doesn't take the game serious. Then he'll just be.
Right, I can tell you this. If they got on Jeter, and Jeter was one of the best role models ever in sports, hey, and I don't think if KD or Kyrie come here, you're not going to jump up in the notch where Jeter at. You know, you're going to work your way up there. So you're going to be on your best behavior. You might not be able to go to Tao or go on One Oaks or. You know, late night, and you know, cause so much social media, you know, TMZ, and you know, somebody gonna take a picture.
How lucky are you that there was no TMZ or the cell phone cameras back when you played?
They was there. We might have just took them. No, they was. I mean, it was there. I mean, but we was professional with it. We didn't hang out for games. It's, a lot of these guys now hang out night before a game. I mean, after the game, we can go out cause the game is over. But we ain't gonna go out on. Back to back, or no, we going to a city and we got an early game. But you know, a lot of the new guys just don't look at it like that.
Does the culture bother you that they're friends with each other, like legitimately friends? Is that like from AAU social media?
AAU social media. That's the new look. That's what the brand at. You know, the commission. You know, start up there. You know, they say, you know, he's a little soft with the players, and the players. Run the league now. Mm-hmm. The players run the league to an extent, and to when it comes to the collective bargaining, you know, they can get all the popcorn, the candy, the movie, but they own the movie theater. At the end of the day, that's what it is. They can go through the watch movie.
That's a great call. Like you would never hear like Larry Bird liked so and so's post on Instagram. Bird would have never done that back in the day. You
know? But see, that's the one. We need to stop that because we don't know what we would have did back then.
Okay,
we saying it now because. It's done. Michael won 6 championships. Magic won 5. Birdie won 3. We don't know. The only thing we might say, the money. Everybody said, well, they wouldn't have teamed up. You never know. The money was, they was, you know, salary cap was set at $30 million, $60 million. You never know what you would have did.
Okay,
so
that's fair.
We need to leave that alone because everybody did it, and they did it the old-fashioned way. Now, don't be bad because Bentley, they ain't going to make the same cars 5-6 years in a row. They're going to change something to the car. They're going to change something on the car. Anybody going to keep buying a car looking like for 10 years? So that was the lead. Change the faces and this and that.
Speaking of history, the truth, go New York, go New York, go. Do you hate hearing that song?
It didn't bother me. It's just it's a theme like a lot of other places. You know, they got theme songs. So it was, you know, it was hot. It was hot. You know, somebody got some royalties out of that.
Oh, they sure did. Where are all your jerseys? Have you kept them?
I kept them.
Where are they?
Probably my mother's house. New York, Houston, Washington, Toronto.
CharlesOakleyShop.com. You got some pretty good shirts on there.
Yeah, we got some shirts. They got to go buy them. Show them some love. I know they show me a lot of love in New York. I'm talking about other cities. But New York, they show me a lot of love. We're going to try to, you know, get that real broad out here. And it's just like. Working on my new grill, trying to competition with George Foreman. I got the Hot Shot Smokers Grill coming out. And I got a few other things. I'm shooting with Bill Simmons, pitching some shows.
Are you doing a cooking show, Bill Simmons?
We pitching some stuff. But I did a Probs cast 2 years ago, and people liked it. But I've been doing a lot of the small stuff, you know, like I said. I do, like, you know, all the camps still in the summer, and I do, you know, special pasta's. Cooking events, private events, you know, for charity, and you know, do, you know, private events. Someone want me to come in, and we work on the price and do that. Just giving love to the fans.
As a gossip guy, this is what I want to know. I want to know this stuff because the more I'm doing the podcast of having all these athletes on, you realize, and as you get older, you see it's a business.
Right.
Like, oh, how'd they let so and so leave? Any relationship with the '94 Knicks? Still friends with some of them?
I'm friends with them. I'm just mad because maybe a lot of them didn't have my back when the incident happened in the Garden. I thought.
Yeah, could we talk about that quick or you'd rather not?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about whatever. It happened.
Yeah.
You know, they did it to me. I didn't do it to them.
Yeah, not at all.
You know, but no, it was just like, I wish, you know, I'm friends with a lot of them and we played together.
and a lot of them work there, you know, on a regular basis. So I'm not really, you know, I just wish Patrick would have said more. Patrick, I know they asked him questions, and he probably said, well, you know, I'd rather not say, make a comment. How can you not make a comment? I played with you for 10 years, had your back for 10 years, and you can't make a comment? That hurt me. Really, that hurt me. I went to war for him. I took less money, you know, to play beside him, you know, because I wanted to win. So, you know, it's one of them things.
It bothered me as an Oakley fan, as a Knicks fan, after the incident, the next day or the game after, he, like, paraded guys, Free Will, Kenny Walker.
Right. And you know, okay, yeah. And good question. Like, Kenny Walker, I mean, he don't work for him, Free Will. Bernard King, that old guy hurt me. I seen Bernard, like, 6 months after that. I gave him the business.
Did you?
I said, I have no more respect for you. What you did that Sunday, he tried to tell me, he went to him and told him, I said, no, you didn't. Don't lie to me. If I ain't hearing the press or in the news, I don't care about what you did behind closed door. It didn't happen behind closed door. Well, I ain't that type of guy. I like to put my business in the street. How are you not in the street? All your business in the street. When you went to University of Tennessee, when you're from Brooklyn, all this stuff will happen to you. It's in the street. People know about it. So I was disappointed. And I let him know. I ain't like it. I really wanted to just get into his mouth, you know.
Yeah, it bothered me. And Spiro, you know what bothered me too, Oak? It bothered me. It happens. And then he sits the players down, all the black players next to him. Like, look, it's a big solidarity. We're a team. That bothered me. It's like, wow, you're trying to tell these guys to cut. I just felt they kind of all turned their back on you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, a lot of them work for. I'm not never stop no one hustle, but that flag should have went up. Like, this guy went to war with me, this and that. And the point was, the man was wrong. I didn't do nothing. Just came in, went to my seat. I don't know when they gonna get this. We got a tape. NBA, they need to see this tape. I didn't do. This was like a hit job in front of 20,000 people. This man is a control freak. And he's a bully, and he shouldn't have a team in New York. He's a bully. He don't deserve. And the commission, I try to give him so much respect, but he didn't do nothing. He didn't fire him, suspend him, or nothing about this whole topic. And then he just suspended Sean Mark for going to the officials' locker room. Houston owner touched the official. He fined him, but he did nothing to this guy. And this guy is, I mean, owners don't like him.
Nobody does.
And this and that, and you keep letting him get away. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but anytime he called me an alcoholic, I got anger management problem. He just kept telling the was a train coming. He told me, he called us at speed up, 60 ain't fast, no, go 100. I want you to cut him in half. That's what he tried to do to me. He tried to cut me in half, and like, I never did nothing to this man. Nothing.
One question about that, because I said, I remember watching the highlights, and every fan, and it has nothing to do with loving Oakley, hating Dolan. It's like,
is this real, though?
What they say you did, like, what did Dolan say you did there?
He said I was hollering at him. I just came in the game. If I walk in the guard at 8:05 and the game started at 8:02, 8:03, I look like hollering. I did not do nothing. He's lying. This man is lying on me. And I don't. That's what I hate. And I mean, that's what I hate the most. He just lying on me for no reason. We got tape him pointing them guys to come and throw me out because he don't like me. He disliked me because I don't dance to his music. He playing rock. I like OJs. I like Hell, Melvin, and Blue Notes. So we on different levels.
Are you still banned from the Garden?
You banned me once, I'm banned. You know, he banned me twice in 6 months. So I'm not going to all this. Yeah. I'm banned. He banned me once and I ain't do nothing. I have nothing. This is disrespectful.
Did you mentioned Bill Simmons? Did you hear the song "Sell the Team"?
It's all kind of song. I mean, like,
no. Did you hear the song?
Yeah, I may have heard it, but like St. Patrick's Day, people wearing jersey, something, and "Sell the Team" or this and that. They throwing them out of the garden.
Yeah,
this man, the guy said, "Holla, sell the team." It's just okay. What you think about back in the 50s and 60s, a black athlete who tried to get on these teams? What you think what fans were saying to them?
To Bill Russell, what do you think they were saying?
Right.
They
set broke his house on fire.
They
this
shit
and that.
In his bed, Oak.
And you mad because somebody said, sell the team? That thin skin don't work. I mean, it just, I don't know. You know, his family's from Ohio. They grew up like 2 miles from me in Cleveland. But, I mean, the father was there. Well, no problem. No kind of issues like this. But him, he just a control freak. And the commission won't do nothing about it. Well, something going to happen.
He needs to sell that team. That's what he needs to do.
I just when the judge gives me my day in court, all this is going to come out. You think
you're still going to court on this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But we're waiting on the judge.
the judge, they keep prolonging. So we're going to have to do something soon because I need action because this man did this in front of me, in front of all these people that embarrassed me, my mom. Ever since that date, my mom, the last 2 or 3 years, my mom-in-law, 30, 40 pounds, because she can't sleep, stressed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really sickening to her, right? It's still to this day, and it's just bad.
All right, you talked about your mom. Let's have some fun. Want to have some fun?
We good.
Me and Oak are out. We're hanging out at the bar. Who's the coolest person in your phone that if you called them or texted them, they would text you back right away?
I mean, just about if I text them, they try to get back to me in 5 or 10 minutes.
I need an answer. Give me a person.
It don't matter who.
You got to give me a name. Who's the coolest person?
I mean, everybody, I'm cool with everybody if I text. It's no matter.
Jordan's probably your answer, right?
I mean, it ain't just Jordan. I'm cool with a lot of people. I mean, you never know. They could be in a plane or in the water. You never know. You know.
Virginia Union guy, a young Charles Oakley today, goes where to college?
I don't know. That's a tough question. Maybe stay home, or maybe, I don't know. Maybe to a Middle America, you know, team. I don't know if we go. Probably won't go to Virginia Union. Mm-hmm. Most kids don't want to go too far. I went. You know, that was a waste. That was a waste from home.
Yeah, that's a hike from Cleveland.
Yeah, I had to leave. I didn't want to go back. No time. I went back home one time in 4 years.
Really? And what would you just didn't want to go back home?
It was less. It was a lot going on.
You know, that's what, without knowing your story, that's the problem, I think, with the New York thing. New York has a great tri-state area with sports. But you're a kid like Kenny Anderson, Stephon Marbury, Telfair. They come here, they're like, I grew up here. I want to go somewhere new. I want to experience something. Is that why you think it's hard for New Yorkers to recruit?
Oh, in that case, I don't think so. I mean, back in the day, St. John's had good talent. And I guess Seton Hall, local school, you know, Rutgers, and them probably the biggest four schools around here. But it ain't you don't hear about too much talent coming out of New York no more.
I know.
So it moved out a lot of Florida, California, probably Texas.
Why is that? Do you think Doug Gottlieb, he tweeted something like, oh, New York's talent was overrated, and Marbury crushed him. Marbury on Twitter went like nuts on him, like, you're crazy. Look at these great players. Felipe Lopez is on here all the time.
Not in the last 10 years. I know that. It ain't been good.
Nothing, right? You think they were overhyped back in the day, maybe?
No, they had talent. Okay. Yeah, they had some talent come through here.
Maybe a little rut we're in right now, then.
They had some talent come through here. I mean, you know, you can go all the way back to Kareem. And mm-hmm. They had some great players come through here.
Coolest piece of memorabilia that Charles Oakley owns?
I don't know. It's all in my mother's house, so probably.
Oh, she has everything?
Coolest people, probably me, Mike, and Scotty.
Nice picture of you guys?
Yeah.
That's pretty
all
cool.
All three of together in Chicago uniforms. So that was nice.
Was it fitting that your career ended with Jordan? Was it like a nice bow on top of the present?
We had a good time together. When he called me, you know, he was in Washington, and we know I didn't play a lot. I wanted to play. Doug was the coach, but just being there, showing the young guys that I'm not just there, you know, to be on the team. I worked every day when my number was called. But we had fun together on the road, just being two vets. And, you know, we never took a day off practice. You know, a lot of guys, well, I'm a vet now. Let me just take off days. Even when it snowed in Washington one time, we were the only two show up for practice.
Did you enjoy the ride while it was happening? I always ask this. Jeter's biggest regret, Derek Jeter said when he retired, his regret was that he didn't appreciate the ride during the – his career. He's like, did you appreciate the ride?
Well, he had a Bentley. You know, I had a Cadillac, so he had a better ride. So, but no, we know, like I said, we got in a little bit, but we didn't, like I said, everybody took it so serious back then, and because you never knew, because it was always somebody out to get your job. You know, if you got hurt, you know, you played hurt. You ain't like take a month off. You had to find a way to get out there and be, you know, and have the team win. So, in this day and age, you can get hurt for 2 months, come back and start, and, you know, you ain't got, you know, put you on game management, strictures minutes and this and that. It's a whole different era. I mean, sometimes I'd be like, wow.
Oh, you said serious. You seem so serious now. Are you happy? Like, you a fun guy? Are you like?
I'm a fun guy. I mean, you got to be doing something really, really fun, but.
So this isn't fun for us, though?
No, I'm saying is I'm doing it, but, I mean, it's different elements, and you do different things, so I take this serious.
Why every time you Google Charles Oakley, it's Charles Oakley does this. Charles Oakley has bitch smacked Barkley, beef with Rodman. Why do you have beef with so many people?
I thought it was
they Google me. It used to be me and Jane Dolan.
Yeah, yeah, although that
it
is,
was that was a bad image. I would have Barkley up there. But no, it's just, you know, stuff happened and people, you know, they look in this. I hope you keep Googling me. It's all about your Google stuff these days and how many times it goes to your site. So somebody getting paid off of that. I'm not getting paid.
Everyone's getting paid off Oakley. Do you have beef with Rodman, real beef or no?
Oh, yeah. I ain't got no beef, but he better not come around me.
All right.
It will be some beef.
Oh, really? So yeah. If you see.
I mean,
not a fan.
I mean, you know, wearing dresses and. Mm-hmm. I had a restaurant. Well, in Florida, called Red Steakhouse, and he was in there one time eating up a people plates. That's so disrespectful.
Okay.
Then he came to Jerry Krause's service in Chicago. He was drunk. I mean, just disrespect. And, you know, it's just, you know, guy got him in, tattoos and earrings. I don't want to be around him anyway.
All right. And you beef with Barkley. Any beef anymore?
I ain't never no beef. I mean, just like sometimes your little brother, you got to hit him on his butt and let him know you're the big brother.
You don't have to repeat the story. You flat out bitch smacked Charles Barkley.
That's what they say. I was in the room. That's what they said. It was my second. It was, you know, it's always like a double me. So it was my second me did that.
Did you, without getting to the story, did you smack him just because he said the name Charles? Is that true?
My second Charles, yes.
Hey, you coached for a year or two. Did you enjoy coaching or no?
I love coaching.
Would you like to, is that something you would like to get into or?
I would love to get into it, but. They don't want you to tell guys. It's a different league now. You gotta be. It's like a daycare now. It's basically you gotta come with your lunch and you don't get a break. Eat it. So it's just you gotta be there. And guys don't work on what they don't want to work on no mid range game. They just want to shoot threes and it's crazy now. But this is why you keep seeing the same guys keep getting the head coaching job, the same assistant coaches because they don't want to bring too much people from the outside to see like wow. Everybody gonna start saying wow. And, you know, coaches not coaches no more. It's basic, the age of coaching, because you got to play their playoffs, you got to do that. It's way over the top than it used to be. Because agent was, you know, David Falk and a few other ones a little controlling, but not like now. Because they like, hey, you want to sign my guy, you better play my guy. It's kind of bad.
Every time you're at a bar or around older guys and younger guys, the conversation's always like, oh, these Warriors would destroy any team. Yeah. And then obviously us... My generation's right. Like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, they would go the whole one time. The 94 Knicks, which we keep talking about, you, Mace, Smith, Ewing, what would, like, playing the Warriors now, they would come to the hole one time, and that would be, like, you guys would legit.
Well, their biggest thing is what rules we playing by, new rules, old rules. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, I hate to compare because it's just, they got three of the best shooters ever play basketball, and that's a plus for them. But for us physicality, they can handle it. You know, I give them their props.
You have a lot of clout with a lot of people. What are the odds Charles Oakley, Mike Saffo go into Space Jam 2?
It's a good chance. It's over 50%.
Me and you together or mostly you?
Well, it's over 50%. I just said that because I know them guys. They might want somebody to be a stand-in, somebody just, hey, I was in one, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So they might call me just to be around. I don't know.
I heard LeBron's having problems getting there. If you want, I'll stand in the corner, not even looking at anybody. I'll wear whatever they want him to wear. Can you make the call for me?
Well, I thought, they were trying to get Mike to do it, but Mike wasn't going to do it. I don't know. I know Muggsy was a big part of number one, mm-hmm. So I don't know if they called Muggsy. I said that on the show. Like, yeah, they need to call Muggsy, you know. You couldn't get Mike. Muggsy would be glad to do it.
Muggsy's a good guy, right?
Oh, yeah, Muggsy's a good guy. He was on the Toronto team with us. We had fun.
Let me ask you this. Michael Jordan has those famous all-star parties, those famous ones.
Right.
What are the odds of me and Simba getting invited to a Michael Jordan all-star party?
Yeah, you went with me, you get in. I don't know if he'll invite you, but I'm saying, if, you know, if you was in town, I said, oh, let's go. Can I go? I said, yeah, come on. I'll get you in.
All right, let's wrap it up. How many games did you play in your NBA career?
I said about 1,200.
Ooh, 1,282.
Yeah.
How many points did you average?
I mean, I was double-double, close to 10, 9.9 rebounds. Almost 9.7.
9.7, 9.5 boards, wow. 2.5 assists.
That ain't bad for a broke-down guy.
Player now in the NBA, no one is you, who kind of resembles you the most when they play. I have one name in mind, and you might get mad at it.
I'm trying to see who played like me, who set pick, who died for. I don't see nobody die for. I don't see nobody take charges, so it's gonna be hard to find someone did what I did.
Draymond Green?
Draymond think he's better than me.
Stop it.
We had this.
Stop. That's, well, that's nonsense. I was just
thinking. I mean, Draymond, I ain't mad at him. You supposed to think he's good, but he playing. I mean, if I play with three, if I'm playing spades. If I'm playing with the ace, king, queen, I'd be good too.
You live in the city now. 2 a.m., Charles Oakley's hungry. Where are you going to eat?
I don't even out there late.
Oh, no, you're not late. Where do you hang out now?
I don't really hang out. I try to go to good restaurants during, 7, 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. Be in about 10, 30, 11 at the latest. But, I mean, I try to go to all the restaurants in the city. I don't try to do the same place too much. I want to show them my love to all the restaurant owners in the city. I go to SCK a lot, DeFresco, then I want pasta. I mean, I go to all of them. I just spread my wings. I like good food, though. If it ain't good, I'm sending it back.
What's your go-to? Steak. It seems like you're a steak guy. No,
I just like good food. It can be I don't eat turkey burgers, though, because I make them the best.
Okay.
It's hard to find good turkey burgers, so I try 3 or 4 times, so I don't eat them out. But I do go to steakhouses, pasta, I go to, I like to say go to different places.
You've been here longer than you should have been. I'm going to name 3 players that I'm fascinated with from back in the day before. Can you just pick one of them and talk about them quick? Mm-hmm. Either Connie Hawkins, the Big O, Oscar Robinson, or Moses Malone. These are 3 players that fascinate me. Maybe there's not enough video about them or not enough written about. Just pick one of those or just tell me something because I'm fascinated with these 3 players.
Yeah, Connie Hawkins played with Phoenix, was a great guy. You know, uh-huh. You're talking about
he got screwed over too by everything.
Yeah, I heard about that. And then you said
Moses Malone.
No, the guard.
Big O, Oscar Robinson.
Big O, Milwaukee. But I got to go with, Big O. No, with Moses uh-huh. because I knew Moses personal. I knew him when he was in Virginia. I called him when he schooled in Virginia Union. And, what he did, come straight out of high school and get into the league and, when he won the championship in Philly, he put him on his back. He went to Houston, he talked dreams, a lot of post-up moves. He's one of the guy they call him 2020. He's going to miss by 10 to 12 shots. He's going to get 8 to 10 of them himself. So, Moses is just one of a kind. Never a player like Moses. I got Moses down on top 5 centers all the time.
So, he was that good?
Yeah. He didn't get his prop.
Yeah, he doesn't. It seems like the players from that generation never get props anymore. Like,
well, it's just like Paul Pierce in Boston. I don't think he got his prop.
Mm-hmm.
They got KD to come there from Minnesota, and they almost try to, the league, they like the Garnett, but they ain't like Paul. You know how it is. Just like when Jim Jackson and Jason Kidd was in Dallas.
With Mashburn, yeah, that was the 3
Jim Jackson averaged 29 points and then made the All-Star team. It's a lot of BS, They push who they want to push.
They love pushing the one agenda they want.
They never
push
my button, so.
Wait, is that from your mom, just the toughness that you're like, I'm not going to just comply? I'm not going to mold.
Probably my grandfather back in the day, so, just growing up in the South and the body of work, what he's doing, steel mill, work in the field. But, I had to find a way to get to the league, so just worked hard and got a chance.
Does Charles Oakley gamble in any sports?
No, messing around.
Just cards and
Dinner, lunch or something. Not really.
Not a sports bettor, though?
No. It's hard to bet. I mean, you don't know who's going to play every night, especially basketball. Football is a little more hungry. Basketball, you might have said, game time decision, it might be 10 games. Not just they said decision, but I don't know. It's different.
So here we go. We're gonna finish with this. So every guest who's ever came on my show is like 130 something guests.
I'm that late.
Well, Oak, I've been trying. Oak, the only reason I got you on is
I got drafted top 10.
First of all, you're number one. Oak.
No,
you know who got bumped for you? I'll tell you. Are you? No. You know who got bumped today? Are you a boxing guy?
I love boxing.
Teddy Atlas.
I wish he was in here. We got a little beef.
No.
Yeah, we got a little beef.
I'm going to Teddy Atlas' house right after this to do the show. What do you have beef for?
No, no. I used to go to his event.
Okay. Oh, the Teddy Atlas Foundation.
One time.
Sure.
So one time I went, me and Patrick was there.
Okay.
So they ended up auctioning 2 basketball for half and half, like $16,000. Then after the event, I stayed an extra hour and a half just signing autographs, just hanging out with the fans, because whatever. Then another year come, so I'm in town, and the weather got real bad, and I got called on 57. It would took me like an hour and a half to get there.
Yeah, it's in Staten Island. So
It would took me 2 hours to get there, and I didn't make it. He went off on me, and then it was a big thing. We went on Page 6, and I went on, okay, it is what it is. You got a name, I got a name, so you want to fight me in New York, let's fight.
How about this? When I get there tonight,
it's
I'm going.
All good.
No, no. Can I squash the beef when I get there with him?
It's squash. You know, he didn't touch me. He put his hands on me, so it's squash.
Well,
he can talk all he wants. I'm gonna talk back.
No, we're squashing this beef. When I get to Teddy's house, I'm calling you.
Nah,
we end the beef.
Don't call me. You shouldn't have started.
No. Oh, so here's the last thing.
Put him on that Barclays. He ain't that bad. They say they found him in a ditch somewhere. Might be back in that bitch.
So, like I was saying, everyone who came on my show,
I like that. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. They always sign something for me. So, you want to know what I went and just did?
What?
I went to the NBA store and bought Charles. So, I don't know if you want to reimburse me for the money, but Charles.
Yeah. Should have told the NBA.
I really went. I went and
bought it. They had me in there, really?
Dude, yeah, they went and. Dude, I went and bought a jersey just now for you.
Dude, how much is it called? I'll tell you if it's real or not.
No, it's not real. It's a swing man. Oakley. Okay. Unless you reimburse me, I brought the receipt if you want to pay me back.
How much they charge you, though? They selling my jersey at the NBA store? Dude,
I'm going to tell you, they had like 10 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, right in the Knicks section, in the Knicks throwback legend section.
Really? Who else in there?
It's Ewing. So you walk down there, it's on display. It's Ewing, Oakley, Mason, and then there was a Ewing thing, and you moved it. It was Starks. It was those are the four guys they have down there.
Really?
They have Bernard King one, like kind of like in the throwback one.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna go throw something at that one.
I'll go there. I'll go throw it on the floor.
Yeah, Bernard. Yeah, man.
So you'll sign it for me when done. Yeah. So I shouldn't have paid for this. You would have brought me one.
Nah, I mean, I get requests all the time. I try to give when they call, and you know, they don't give us no discount on them. I order them sometimes. They cost like $200-something.
Yeah, do you get? I bought this jersey just now. You get anything from this?
They say they get a royalty at the end of the year, but it ain't, we don't.
So if you get a royalty, you know it's from Mike.
Okay. I might get $6.
Oak, this was an absolute pleasure, my friend. When I mean right. Honor to do this with you, man, I hope you had fun.
I did.
Bro, that was fucking awesome, man.
All right.
So Oak, you better get a reimbursement for this, Oak. Don't make me embarrass me.
Oh, man. Where your mark at?
I got a mark. Hold on. Oak, sign it like to Mike, my all-time best friend. Make it funny, because I hang them all in my house like funny stuff. I just got to take one picture with you.
I didn't know they had my jersey in there.
Serious, man?
No, they so full of shit.
Yes, I brought two, so just do it. Just like to Mike, my best friend.
Black.
In black, okay.
You wanna, I'm going to put it on the four.
Yeah, whatever you want to put it on, man. I just want to get a picture of us doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was on page 6. You know, I put the mics.
Yeah, now it looks like we're doing a big time show.
Like, yeah,
we'll do the show like.
Yeah.
You know what's great? We just talked for an hour. Now it's like we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, oh, that's
like,
cool.
Yeah, now we're just sitting here. And that is funny with Teddy. But I had Teddy was supposed to come on today at 3. Mm. Joe calls me up. I'm like, all right, we're canceling with Teddy to have you on. Obviously, Oak. And then
don't
he's
tell
like,
Teddy he my shit on himself.
I'm going in right after that. That's funny, Oak.
All
right. Oh, man.
That was funny, though. He put in page 6. I'm like, come on, Teddy, man.
That's a bad job by him.
That's all right. I don't know what he thought people was going to do. I ain't did nothing to nobody. I came the year before, so what you want me to do? He's like, well, at least he came.